We finished reading the New Testament as a fellowship. This week, we begin reading through the Old Testament. I would like to offer several caveats as we begin. The first is that as I am not a Hebrew scholar, I may have some difficulty with the names throughout our reading of the Old Testament. So please forgive me for any mispronunciations of people or places. I'll do my very best, but don't let that hinder our reading together of God's Word. The second is that we may not always read every section or every word of a chapter. For example, the lineages or the recounting of the same information of the 12 tribes of Israel is listed in Numbers. That does not mean that these elements are not important, however. I would ask that even though we may not read them together on Sundays, time be spent in each household and with each individual during the week to read through the passage in order to prepare for our fellowship reading. Also note that we may spend time on the same chapter for several weeks. Now, let us begin with the beginning. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, one day. Then God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse, and separated the waters which were below the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening, and there was morning, a second day. Then God said, "Let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit after their kind, with seed in them on the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, a third day. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He made the stars also. And God placed them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, and to govern the day and the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, a fourth day. Then God said, "Let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth in the open expanse of the heavens." And God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves with which the waters swarmed after their kind, and every winged bird after its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, a fifth day. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after their kind." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after their kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps on the ground after its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed. It shall be food for you, and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth which has life. I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We are at the very beginning of everything that was created by God in this passage. That may seem to be an obvious statement, but sadly, it is one that is under great attack in this realm. We know that there are many within the educational system and within the sciences who are very firmly rooted in their absolute rejection of this very first statement in God's Word. As well, there are very, very many Christians for whom this passage holds no meaning. They are more than willing to set it aside in a complete capitulation and accommodation to the supposed scientific certainties of evolution and the Big Bang Theory. I do not propose to put forth arguments for or against the position of creationism versus evolution. This is neither the time nor the place for argumentation. It does not serve any purpose to even mount a learned defense of the issue, placing the pros and cons next to each other and dueling it out with the greatest of human intellectual capabilities. We will neither compare nor contrast the evidence on either side of the issue to arrive at a conclusion that meets some arbitrary standard of the accommodation of scientific research and data collection. That has already been done. There are so many attacks and defenses on both sides of the subject that should the urge to look into it be on any heart, the means and the writings and the argumentative authorities are readily available online or in the library or even in the video stores. Rather than enter into the fray at the fringes of the battle, I propose that we penetrate to the very core of the reason that this battle rages back and forth so fiercely and resolutely and violently. Everything that we believe as a Christian hinges on this very first statement in God's Word. No matter what viewpoints and attitudes may have been incorporated into our understanding as a believer in the person of Jesus Christ, he stands or falls on this initial and all-encompassing truth declared in Genesis 1:1. It is that simple and that critical. If we do not accept that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, we cannot accept the reality of anything else in God's Word. This is the focal point of all that we believe is God at work in our lives. This is the focal point of the course of man's history on this earth. This is the focal point of our understanding of reality and invention. This is the focal point of our very salvation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If we do not accept this proclamation as the divinely inspired word from the very mouth of God, declaring His handiwork within the entire spectrum of the universe, then we cannot possibly believe in the person of Jesus Christ. We cannot accept Him as God's only begotten Son, sent to die for our sins, to redeem us unto God through His death and resurrection. Nothing else in Scripture means anything to us if we do not believe that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. This is why we have such fierce attacks on the validity of God's account of creation by the powers of this age. This is why our young people are constantly inundated with the teachings of every other possible explanation as to the manner in which life began. If doubt and uncertainty and questioning and discord can be planted in the minds and hearts of any person from the very beginning of the Bible, then that ambiguity, hesitation, and vagueness of thinking can be watered and fertilized until every truth of the Word of God becomes suspect and questioned as to its veracity. Our very eternal life and the eternal lives of our loved ones, our children, and our friends hangs in the balance as to our complete acceptance of the Word of God that He created the heavens and the earth. Lest you think that this is an overstatement and a dramatization of the matter, there is a direct link to our belief in Jesus Christ that comes immediately to the forefront as we read in John 1, 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. This passage in John specifically describes the Son of God as the living Word of God by whom all things came into existence. God spoke and it was. There is no conceivable manner in which Christ can be ignored or set aside in the creation account. All things came into being by Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. This is the core of why there is such a rampant and uncontrolled battle centered on the very first account of God's Word. It is this age's adamant and desperate attack on the very truthfulness of God. This is the summation of why we are so set in our focus on these opening words of the Bible. Either everything God tells us is true, or it is all suspect. It becomes a matter as to whether we believe and trust in God and all that He tells us in His Word, or that we utterly reject Him and trust rather in the ideas of humanity. Do we accept the wisdom of God in all that He tells us? Or do we consider it all to be a false hope, and trust rather in the ideas and the theories of learned men who reject any notion of the divine Creator? We cannot pick and choose what we want to believe in the Bible. There are no optional declarations of intent that we can either accept or reject as the situation presents itself. We either believe God or we believe man. We either accept the salvation based fully on the Word of God in the sending of His only begotten Son for our sake, or we reject Christ as foolishness along with the creation account in this book of Genesis. This brings up three distinct aspects of consideration. The first is the manner in which we choose to believe God. It is centered in faith, as we are told by the Apostle Paul in Romans 10, 6 through 18. But the righteousness based on faith speaks thus: do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes in Him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call upon Him. For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How then shall they call upon Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings of good things. However, they did not all heed the glad tidings, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. But I say, surely they have never heard, have they? Indeed they have. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. The Word of God has gone forth throughout all creation by the reality that it is in Christ Jesus that all things have been created. All things came into being by Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. He has invested Himself into His creation in manners beyond our full understanding. When scientists study the workings of the world, from the smallest elements of microbiology to the vast vista of the universe, there are seen the complete evidences of God's hand imprinted upon everything. Admittedly, they choose not to see and not to give God the credit, but His handiwork is seen in the marvelous manner in which He created the heavens and the earth and all the things that are incorporated into His universe. Despite their stubborn blindness, the design of God is fully evident. Whoever believes in Him will not be disappointed. This is not a matter of being humiliated because we choose to believe in the divine Creator. We will take punishment in this realm for believing in Him, for believing on the only begotten Son of God. That is no mystery and no surprise. However, when the eternal ages of ages commences in earnest after the great day of judgment, we will not be disappointed. All the hope and the trust and the faith that we invested in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in God the Father, and in God the Holy Spirit will be absolutely validated. It will be recognized not as some fantastical ruse of mankind to keep order within the social stratum of this world, but He will be seen in the full reality of the truth that He has declared from the beginning. Whoever believes in Him will not be disappointed. The second aspect of consideration in the belief upon the Word of God as true and as reality is that we will see the wisdom of God as He reveals Himself in this creation. We will witness the full outcome of how the supposed wisdom and learnedness of humanity utterly fails and disintegrates in the light of the declared glory and wisdom of God. Romans 1:18-25. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, that their bodies might be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. The denial of the handiwork of God in His creation will be the cause for the eternal suffering of those who reject God and choose rather to worship the idol of their own foolishness. They will be without excuse in the light of the person of Jesus Christ, in whom all things are held together. They cannot even envision how what they call wisdom is utter folly in the light of the blessed Creator's own word as to the truth of how all things came into being. They would rather choose to believe the lie and suffer the fires of hell than to admit that God created the heavens and the earth. The last aspect to consider this morning is that the very wisdom that humanity purports as the basis of understanding and science does not even compare in a minuscule level to the Word of God given to us by the Holy Spirit's infallible inspiration. Again, as the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1:17-31, For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, that the cross of Christ should be made void. For the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For indeed Jews ask for signs and Greeks search for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block and to Gentiles foolishness, but to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, and the base things of the world, and the despised, God has chosen the things that are not, that He might nullify the things that are, that no man should boast before God. But by His doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Amen. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Our wisdom is not of this earth. It is a divine wisdom, as we read in this passage. It is not ours to claim as something that we can practice and use for our own purposes and endeavors. It is all back at the very beginning of creation, set in the Son of God, the living Word made flesh. But by His doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. This is why we cannot compromise or accommodate in our belief that God created the heavens and the earth. To do so is to deny the very Christ by whom we have eternal life. As He is our everything, so is He, the Word of God, fully trustworthy and able to answer our every question and concern. It is by Him that we live on this earth, a life far beyond any comprehension or understanding of the human mind. As He lives forth from us, so do we know, without any doubt or uncertainty, that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Amen.